Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. This week's sermon is by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Join me in prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. By the grace of God, we are all moving from a life of self-centeredness and self-absorption to a shared life that is centered in Jesus Christ, God's good news for the whole world. I say that we're moving, we're on our way, but we're not there yet. The scriptures today remind us of this movement from being self-centered to Christ-centered, from being self-absorbed to being a member of a community, from independent isolation to interdependence with one another and unity with the Spirit of God. We need this reminder from Scripture because, well, this week, we've taken our share of selfies. According to Instagram, 93 million selfies are posted every day. That's 1,000 selfies every 10 seconds. And both psychologists and religious leaders are looking at this trend as sort of emblematic of our culture and asking, how is our society going to avoid the pitfalls of self-centered living in this selfie universe? But being self-centered or self-absorbed is not a new problem for humanity. You know, think about these beautiful little babies that have just entered the life of this community. They're perhaps not self-conscious, but they are certainly self-centered beings, right? They're crying out for their needs to be met, all these basic needs for love and nourishment and care, and other people need to respond. By grace, we move from that self-centered, self-absorbed infancy to a shared life centered in Jesus Christ, God's good news for the world. And interestingly enough, these same infants are often a means of God's grace in our lives, moving parents and moving caregivers toward the needs of another rather than their own. The ancient scriptures we heard this morning address this very concern. First, we hear Lady Wisdom, this womanly aspect of God. She gets in our face. She urges us to begin in our youth to seek God's wisdom, or else we'll end up in a heap of destruction, she says. Now, the whole book of Proverbs is intended to show us the probabilities, the usual patterns of wise living, so that we make good choices about things like money and family and sex and alcohol and poverty and work and sharing and debt and dozens of other very practical topics. Perhaps some of the youth and young adults here this morning need some wise direction in these areas, because being self-absorbed, taking our cues from our culture, being self-centered in terms of money, family, sex, substances, poverty, work, sharing, debt, usually lands us in a heap of destruction. Now, if Proverbs is sort of pitched toward the youth audience, then at the other end of the life spectrum and centuries later, the wise elder James, in a New Testament letter, speaks to the church that has suffered and struggled for a generation after Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection. At this time, the church is tempted to abandon discipleship because life is harder than we thought, and we aren't always teeming with resurrection life and the mind of Christ. James reminds us that all of us, we all stumble in many ways. Another translation says, we all make many mistakes. And all of us need a personal spiritual trainer. James deals with some of the very same topics that show up in the book of Proverbs. In the passage we heard this morning, he's concerned about our speech, the power of our words to bless or to wound. And we heard one of the stories of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. Is this passage for the young or the old or folks in between? Is it for all of us? Let's just say that in the midst of life, among disciples of any age, Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us in our greatest human triumphs, in our successes, insight, and faithfulness. When Jesus was heading to Caesarea Philippi, the general population believed that he was someone from the past, John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets. And if you think about it, this is still true today. Most people who have heard of Jesus believe that he's someone from the past. Peter, however, says that Jesus is the future Messiah, the Christ, right here in the present with us. And he's right. What a breakthrough for the life of faith. What wonderful knowledge. Jesus asks him, though, to keep this good news quiet. But then Jesus teaches his disciples about suffering and rejection, death and resurrection, and he goes too far. It's too much. Peter is the one who resists verbally, but perhaps all of the disciples felt it too. Who wants to be at odds with the entire religious establishment, the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes? Who wants to be rejected? Who wants a Messiah, a Christ, who is going to suffer and die? And who even knows what it means to rise again? Did I say that Peter resisted this teaching? He didn't resist, he rebuked Jesus. Peter rejects the whole package. This is Peter's worst blunder ever, a discipleship failure writ large. And strangely enough, it's right here in the gospel, like it's supposed to be good news for us. Jesus is there and calls him out. You know, since we just heard this scripture from James about taming the tongue, I have to say that it seems like Jesus goes a little too far in calling Peter Satan. Did you hear that? Hardly anybody can say yes right away to the spiritual life if it's going to include rejection, suffering, and death. But it has to include these. Because according to Jesus, a spiritual life is also an embodied life. And these are realities for all of us. Here's the good news. Jesus is there for Peter's spiritual breakthrough and his insight and his success. And Jesus is there for Peter's spiritual disaster. And on the heels of these two experiences, Jesus still makes this simple invitation. Follow me. Spiritual writer Joan Borisenko uses three categories developed by Wade Clark Roof in the 1990s for describing our relationship to religious traditions. I find these categories useful for reflection on our lives and on these biblical stories. Now, in broad strokes, Borisenko refers to loyalists, dropouts, and returnees. Loyalists are those who embrace the religious tradition in which they grew up. They are loyal and stick it out, even when the tradition has some real potholes. For example, with the exposure of the widespread cover-up of sexual abuse by Roman Catholic priests, many American Catholics nevertheless resonate with this category of loyalist, even as they condemn the hierarchy's pattern of secrecy and perpetuating abuse. They cannot deny that they have drawn near to God through the sacraments and the liturgy of the Catholic Church, and so they remain. Some of us here this morning, think about it, who grew up in Mennonite families and have maintained Mennonite connections over a lifetime, who showed up today to worship with Community Mennonite Church, some of us here are loyalists. We may have strong critique of Mennonite culture or theology, yet find a home in this tradition, a path of discipleship and a way to be nurtured in faith and to share our gifts. Dropouts. Anybody identify with dropouts? You don't have to raise your hand, but it's great. It's kind of cool, actually, to identify with dropouts, and it's part of Peter's story, too. Dropouts have rejected their childhood faith traditions and attempt to live their lives, at least for a time, without spiritual guidance, without spiritual community. Dropouts have often found their religious tradition to be, you know, maybe irrelevant to real life or harmful for their lives. Both loyalists and dropouts often see the truth and the potholes, the problems of their tradition. They can sometimes carry a lot of anger and resistance. Sometimes they have spiritual wounds that desperately need healing. Returnees is this third category, and returnees have had enough spiritual experiences after living in exile as dropouts that they seek to heal their religious wounds and return to either their childhood faith tradition or another tradition that will help them continue to grow, heal, and authentically experience God. Now, Borisenko is Jewish by birth and perhaps striding the boundary between dropout and returnee herself. These categories might not fit you perfectly. For example, I'd sort of see myself as a loyalist in that I grew up in a Christian family and I stayed in the church. But I also changed brands. I grew up Baptist and briefly hung out with UCC folks, United Church of Christ, and then some German evangelicals before I met Canadian Mennonites when I was 20. In light of our gospel reading this morning, I want to emphasize that these categories, they don't matter to Jesus. And just in general, they don't matter. But notice how they kind of parallel Peter's experience. He is the loyalist. When Jesus is asking this question, who do people say that I am? He begins to speak of Jesus in the language of his Jewish faith tradition. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. But then, after this teaching about, you know, there's going to be rejection, suffering, and death, and this crazy idea of resurrection, then Peter's the dropout. He rejects the whole cross and resurrection experience that Jesus predicts. And third, Jesus is this returnee who chooses to follow Jesus as best he can with his misgivings about the suffering and death part, with his confusion about the resurrection part. In fact, in the next verses in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' general invitation to follow me gets really personal, and Jesus takes Peter and a couple of others to a mountain where they see Jesus in a whole new way. You know, we have to take great care with divine invitations. Lady Wisdom's invitation sounds great, as if the heap of destruction is only for those who reject her way. But remember that the book of Proverbs is really about probabilities, trends. Usually a path of wisdom results in things that are good for life. But God also reveals that listening to wisdom and following Christ will include a cross. It will mean that our self-centered attitudes will have to be shed again and again. Following Jesus will mean that our self-absorbed avoidance of, say, justice for the poor or loving enemies will be judged as fraudulent versions of the gospel. Following Jesus will mean losing hold of some of the things that have soothed us into complacency and shored up our privileges. The good news is that when we RSVP to this divine invitation, we have everything to gain. Love, joy, peace, hope, faith, community, life that really is life, resurrection after many little deaths we suffer, and the hope of one great resurrection, which is eternal. Yes, by the grace of God, we're moving from our self-centeredness and self-absorption to a shared life centered in Jesus Christ, God's good news for the world. Like the first disciples, we're on the way. And who do you say that Jesus is? You know, here we are. This is a Christian worship service. And so we've already sung today who Jesus is with many different names. In a minute, I'm going to read these names kind of slowly for our reflection. And perhaps one or another name for Jesus is the one that you need today, the voice, the identity through which you can hear God's invitation. Maybe your loyalty to Christ and the church is wearing thin. Maybe it's easier to just drop out than to wrestle with your life with respect to Jesus. Perhaps your authentic return to God requires some new, fresh names. Whether you're a loyalist, a dropout, a returnee, or as yet uncategorized, that doesn't really matter. Jesus is with us in every phase of life. Today we're invited to a life of wisdom and a relationship of love through a question, a deep, tender question. On the way, Jesus asked the disciples, "And who do you say that I am?" So, why don't you just take a moment to shift in your chair and roll your shoulders, and the sermon's almost over. And come to a restful, but, you know, alert position, and just perhaps close your eyes and listen for one of Jesus' names so that you can follow the voice of love this week. On the way, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" "Lord," "Savior," "Teacher," "Healer," "Master," "Way," "Truth," "Life," "Light," star. Lamb. Son of righteousness. Christ,
thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.